Hey everybody, it's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Badgers podcast. It has been a while since we chatted. We've got Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel checking in with us shortly. We're going to talk primarily Badgers hoops. I know we have focused for the most part on Badger football on this podcast, and we will talk a little bit of football. We haven't chatted since the Pinstripe Bowl. Much apologies for the long delay, but we're going to primarily focus on the Badger basketball team, which landed a win over Penn State on Sunday night to move to 3-1 in the Big Ten Conference. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Badgers Journal Sentinel podcast. Best place to find us is on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Stitcher, Spotify, a couple other places if that's your preference, but Apple Podcasts is the best spot. You can rate us, review us, and most importantly, subscribe to us, and that is the best way to find out when the next podcast is going to drop. This is a little more irregular than the other podcasts on the in the Journal Sentinel Sports Newsroom, the Packers podcast, which comes at you regularly. And by the way, if you are at all interested in the Packers, you're going to want to be subscribed to that. They just hired new coach Matt LaFleur on Monday night. You're going to want to hear what Tom Silverstein, Jim Ozarski have to say about that. The podcasts I run include the Brewers podcast. There's a new episode landed Tuesday morning discussing with Tom Hodricourt, the Brewers beat reporter at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, all about Madison Bumgarner rumors with the San Francisco Giants and Brewers reportedly chatting about that, as well as other recent Brewers trades. We're in the offseason, so you won't see many Brewers podcasts, but we'll be coming at you once a week when the season gets going, even in the late throes of spring training. And the Milwaukee Bucks podcast, which is with you every week. I join Matt Velasquez. The Bucks defeated the Utah Jazz on Monday night, so we've got another podcast about the Bucks coming Wednesday morning. Again, find all of those at Apple Podcasts, and you will know as soon as a new edition, a new episode is released, it's going to come right to your cell phone. That's exactly what you want. So without further ado, I want to bring in Jeff Patricus. We will talk about the football team. We'll talk about Graham Mertz, who the much-heralded Badgers quarterbacking recruit, who had a huge day in an all-star game over the weekend and definitely has people buzzing again. We talk about their future outlook, learned that David Edwards is going pro, Tyler Biadasz coming back, so the offensive line will get at least one key contributor back for next season. But primarily, we also talk about Joe Thomas, who's going to the College Football Hall of Fame. We've learned that on Monday, so we had to chat a little bit about him, the great offensive lineman, former Badger, but wanted to chat about the basketball team. They're 3-1. They're led, of course, by Ethan Happ. They've had a couple hiccups recently, back-to-back losses at Western Kentucky, and then at home a gruesome loss to Minnesota, where they scored 14 points in the first half, a throwback to the circa late 90s, early 2000s Badgers teams, which was unfortunate. They did rally, and then some late turnovers cost them. That is a tough loss. The Big Ten's pretty good, though. There's a lot of good teams. Michigan and Michigan State seem to have distanced themselves a little bit, but it's going to be a battle. I know that coaches will tell you that every night is a battle, but for real here, this is a really good conference this year, and the Badgers will have to work to finish with a good record, to finish in the top four, which I know seems within reach according to many preseason prognosticators, and certainly for a team like the Badgers, it should not be too far out of the realm of possibility. So let's bring in Jeff and chat a little bit about this year's Badgers hoops team. My guest is Jeff Patricus. He's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat reporter covering the Wisconsin Badgers, the basketball team in the midst of its Big Ten season, moved to 3-1 after a win over Penn State on Sunday night. Jeff, the Badgers had lost back-to-back games going into that one, had dropped a battle on the road to Western Kentucky, and then of course a kind of a gruesome game at home against Minnesota. And I think the point spread was like 1 point in this Penn State game. It wasn't a clear-cut situation where you expected the Badgers to go in there and blow them out like they ended up doing. How important was this game? Did you feel like the Badgers were slipping a little bit and really needed sort of that breath of fresh air, a convincing victory? I mean, was this as big a deal as it kind of felt?
Well, they needed to win because they had lost the game at home, and the team that's going to win the Big Ten championship this year is going to have to steal some victories on the road. And for them, this was their second road victory in league play, which was important. I mean, look at a team like Nebraska, which was picked by some to contend for league title. They've already dropped 3 Big Ten road games, and that's probably going to kill them in the league race. So the issue was different from one game to the next than the losing streak. Western Kentucky, their defense let them down. They had no trouble scoring points. Minnesota, their defense was good both halves, in particular in the second half. It's just that you can't not score for 8-9 minutes against most teams, if not all, in the Big Ten and expect to win. I think Greg Gard was asked about whether he was worried about the state of his team, you know, after the Minnesota loss, he goes, I feel better today than I did after Western Kentucky because we defended. And, you know, they hit some shots against Penn State, and they defended against Penn State, and that's why they won by double digits. It was a little bit surprising because the previous six games, the average margin of victory for Wisconsin at the Bryce Jordan Center was only 4.8 points. And if you go back just to last season, they were up 17 with about less than 10 minutes to go in the game, ended up holding on to win by one, and Penn State had a shot to win it at the end.
In addition to defending well, they took care of the basketball, which is something that that popped up in that Minnesota game. And one factor, at least offensively, Demetric Trice, it seemed like he really struggled. Well, he did really struggle against Western Kentucky and Minnesota. He shot only 2-9 against Penn State, but it seemed like he had a better all around game. Is he a guy right now that you see as kind of the Badgers going as he goes? I mean, certainly you're going to get a certain amount of production from Ethan Happ every night, but it feels like when Demetric Trice is hitting shots, the Badgers are in just a markedly better place. Do you think he's that important to what they have going on right now?
They can win when he doesn't shoot the ball well, which they did against Penn State. And the reason they were able to do that was because they had a bunch of guys contribute. They had three double-digit scores, and they outscored their bench, contributed 19 points for them, led by Charlie Thomas with 7, which is unusual. So the most important thing, Greg Gard said this when Trice was shooting 60% from three-point range. He said, not worried about his shooting. Everybody's making a big deal about his shooting. He goes, what I look at is this. Is he running the team? Is he setting up other guys? Is he taking care of the ball? Is he defending? And against Western Kentucky, he ran the offense okay, but didn't defend. He had some breakdowns. Against Minnesota, he had some defensive breakdowns that are really uncharacteristic. And then he had 4 turnovers, but 2 of them came in that last sequence after they had pulled within 2 points at 49-47, where he just got stripped near half court because he wasn't strong with the ball. And then another one where he just charged, you know, out of control a little bit and tried to force a pass. So he played well defensively, very well defensively against Penn State, and also took care of the basketball and moved the basketball. So hit a couple shots, missed a couple other good looks, but they weren't, you know, they're not concerned about the shooting nearly as much as the other facets of his game.
I think it's the shooting. It's the reason, I guess, I didn't feel as down that Minnesota game as a lot of people were. 14 points at half, I realize, is kind of a disaster, but the Badgers were getting good shots. They just weren't going down, and they had some bad turnovers late that definitely soured the mood on that game after facing a big deficit, but I don't know. When you look back at that Minnesota game, is that as big a debacle as it maybe looked like to a lot of people? Or honestly, I don't know. I feel like that game wasn't a complete disaster for the Badgers. It just they couldn't get shots to fall.
They had one bad half offensively, a very bad half. And I, you know, it's funny because I know I've seen that before with previous Wisconsin teams, not coached by Gard. I mean, Penn State and Wisconsin played a thriller, 36-33, back in the day, 2011, I think it was. The Big Ten
that was a thriller.
Yeah, 36-33, Penn State won that game. The 2012-13 Wisconsin team, 12 of their 35 games, they didn't score 60 points. And about half of those, they didn't hit the 50-point mark. That was a defensive team that just couldn't shoot straight. That team ended up losing to Ole Miss in the opening round of the NC2As, didn't hit the 50-point mark, couldn't shoot at all on that game. So they had one bad half. Now, what the coaches have to do is two things after a game like that. You show them the tape and show them all the things that went wrong, the turnovers at the end, the not being able to capitalize at point-blank range and some of the shots in the first half, missing wide-open threes, a couple of them were rushed. And then you tell your guys, we scored 14 points in the first half, we turned the ball over late, and it's 49-47 with 2 minutes to go, as poorly as we played in some areas. So that, to me, that's the thing that I try to realize about this team. That are horrible half offensively, they got back in the game by scoring and defending and taking care of the ball until the last 2 minutes. You eliminate the last 2 minutes and they may steal that victory.
There was a little bit made about the matchup with Western Kentucky being on the schedule when it was at all, and a little bit about the agreement with the UW Athletic Department involving the football team and that sort of, it was all part of the business arrangement, getting a football game with Western, getting a basketball game, a home-and-home series. On the other hand, you know, you want to be battle-tested going into the Big Ten, and they certainly were there, even though they did go into Western and took a loss. What was your impression of that game being on the schedule at all? Did it feel like that was something that was, you know, going to bother the Wisconsin personnel, that they had to play such a tough road test so close to the Big Ten tournament or the Big Ten season?
Well, when the contract was made several years ago, you didn't know how good Western Kentucky was going to be.
Sure, right.
So, I mean, it was a 3-for-1, two home football games and a home-and-home basketball. Last year's Western Kentucky team had more overall talent and experience than this year's team does, and it was a one-point game at the Kohl Center. This year, the interesting theme about that one was you could tell that town and those guys had pointed to this game for a year because of the way last year's ended with Brad Davison drawing the foul, hitting the free throw to win the game. It's going to hurt them in the NC2As if Western Kentucky goes on to have a bad year. But it's not going to hurt them if Western Kentucky has a decent year. And you're not going to – it was a really good atmosphere in a tough setting. So, yeah, you lose a road game like that. You don't like to lose it, but it doesn't hurt your team in terms of long-term development.
Right now, looking at the Big Ten in general, Michigan certainly seems like the class of the league, although Michigan State's going to have a case. They came away with a big win over Ohio State. Over the weekend, is it those two teams and everybody else in your mind? Is it pretty jumbled after that? Do you think the Badgers are in the second tier, the third tier? How do you sort of see the conference shaking out? I know we don't have a lot of data yet. We've got about four games per team, but what do you see so far?
Yeah, I think on paper, you know, I've seen it suggested that there's a definite, you know, big two and then the rest. I think it's a little early to make that proclamation yet. I mean, Michigan is playing obviously very well on both ends of the court. Michigan State seems to be finding itself after some struggles early, but all it takes is one injury to really affect things, or you go through a part of your schedule where maybe you have a couple difficult road games back-to-back and not a lot of time to prep between them, and maybe you take a bump or two. For example, now Wisconsin's going to host Purdue on Friday night. Wisconsin can prepare all week. Purdue goes to Michigan State on Tuesday before coming to Wisconsin. So I'm sure Matt Painter is not happy about that because they have to go to East Lansing and then go back home. That's a short trip. But you still have to go on the road, come home, go on the road again. So I haven't looked at Michigan and Michigan State's schedule to see if they have some stretches as the year goes on where they've got some difficult road tests and not a lot of prep time without the byes anymore. So, but you have to weigh those factors. On paper, do they look to be the two best teams? Yes. But it's going to, you know, with 20 games, there's a lot of opportunities for teams to surprise others.
Before I move to football, curious your impressions of a couple guys on this Badgers team. Nate Reavers had kind of a pretty good showing against Penn State. Brad Davison also added 14 points. I know Davison struggled maybe a little bit early this season. He's been up and down, but he's obviously still delivered some key performances. What's your impression of those two guys in terms of how they've done this season, and what do you expect from Reavers and Davison as the season progresses?
Well, Davison was obviously in a new role last year, the ball in his hands all the time, basically, after Trice went out. So he had to adjust to being an off guard again. And he didn't say it, wouldn't admit it, but if you remember, there was a play in the Rutgers game, their second Big Ten game, where he took a fall underneath the basket, trying to seal off after a Rutgers player grabbed an offensive rebound. And he landed on his back hard, and he struggled to get up. And in a UW video after that game from the locker room, he had a huge ice pack on his back and could barely get up out of a chair. I think that affected him for a little bit, including the Marquette game, which I think came up after that. I think he's going to be fine. He can shoot it. He does so many things. I mean, yesterday at one point, I think he had 9 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists against Penn State. He was contributing in so many different ways. Reavers is starting to get used to the added weight that he put on in the offseason, 20 pounds. He knows what he can do now. He's starting to find his places on the court. He can be a really dynamic interior player. They used him against Minnesota that way in the second half. He did some damage against Penn State. The problem there is if he's on the court with Hap, Hap's usually down posting up, so you can't clog it up too much with both of them. He has to take advantage of his opportunities maybe when Hap's not in the game and Nate's in the game. But I think you're going to see him blossom as the year goes on. And he's got such a high ceiling, and he's nowhere close to being the player that he will be before he leaves Wisconsin.
Yeah, that would be a huge boost if he started to realize some of that potential this season. We have not chatted since the Badger football team took care of Miami in the Pinstripe Bowl in dominant fashion, 35-3. You can say what you want about the Badgers' struggles this year. They have taken care of business in bowl games in recent years. That's five straight. All in the last four under Paul Chris, they have won them all. I'm curious your thoughts on just sort of looking ahead, the overall look of UW football. We learned that Tyler Biadasz is coming back after he declined to jump to the NFL. David Edwards deciding he will go to the NFL, but still a lot of pieces on that offensive line. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor is back for, I'm imagining Badger fans seeing that being his last year, his junior season with the Badgers, but he'll still be a huge contributor next year. Should Badger fans be expecting a jump, or is it similar to last year where they have a lot of talent back? It's just unproven. We don't know what to expect.
Well, first of all, they have a different schedule next year. They've got, you go five Big Ten home games instead of four. So that's one thing that changes. It's going to be interesting to watch it as it plays out, because we're still early in the cycle. If they stay at nine league games, to really look at, you know, what teams flourish and what teams struggle under that format. But so they have a better schedule in terms of home games. I would expect, you know, broad strokes on defense, the line to be a strength of the unit because they should be healthy and should be deeper next year. The secondary, if those kids benefit from the experience that they were thrown into this year, that should help the secondary. The question mark is going to be at linebacker. I think they have some pieces at inside linebacker, but outside of Zach Bowen, it was similar to last season going into with Andrew Van Ginkle. I knew what Van Ginkle could give him. After that, I didn't know. This year, or going to 19, I'll say, okay, Zach Bowen was solid, should be better in his final season. But after that, I don't know if they're going to throw out an outside linebacker. And that's a marquee position in their defense. Offense, obviously the biggest question mark is going to be at quarterback, because there's no way anyone can predict who's going to start at quarterback. Or at least you can't make that prediction today, because you don't know what Hornerbrook's going to look like. You don't know if he's going to be there. You don't know what Cone's going to look like. Everyone's expecting Graham Mertz to be the starter from day one. There's no guarantee that's going to happen. But their line should be solid. They've got a lot of pieces, you know, young guys that they expect to be able to pop in there. Their running back depth should still be pretty good, even with Taiwan Deal gone. You're going to have Taylor, Groshek, Nakia Watson, Julius Davis from Menominee Falls, if he's healthy, coming off a sports hernia, should be an instant contributor if he's healthy. And they've got, you know, their tight ends and wide receivers coming back. So you would expect the offense to make some progress. Special teams, to me, is the wild card, because the way they have it set up here, they like to play complementary football where one unit helps the other. And it's not so much the specialists per se, the kickers and punters. Their return units haven't given them anything, and they just had too many penalties on returns and coverage that they've got to find a way to eliminate in order to make them the best all-around team possible.
You did say those magic words, Graham Mertz, and he hit a nice game at the All-Star All-American football game over the weekend, threw five touchdown passes. A lot of Badger fans are really pulling for him to win that starting quarterback job. I've tried, every time somebody brings that up, I say he's got an uphill battle to beat out two experienced guys, two guys with starting experience to get onto the field. But with Hornerbrook's injury, I mean, do you think, because of the injuries to Hornerbrook, that maybe his chances of starting are a little bit better than I think? Maybe they're even better than 50%? Or is it still a long shot to see a true freshman at quarterback for the Badgers next year?
No one knows. There's no way you can make a prediction on that. For example, everyone went gaga over the All-Star game. Well, the coverage was limited. You played man coverage, so that's another thing. He took every snap, even though I didn't see the game, I'm sure it was in a shotgun. I don't know if he's taken a snap from center. How long it's been since he's taken a snap under center? I know people are very excited about it, but he's gonna have the benefit of coming in the spring. That's going to help him get acclimated.
Right.
And there's going to be no, I don't expect any declaration of quarterbacks winning a job in the spring, because that's not the way Paul Chryst operates. But he'll have a chance if he's as good as advertised, and if he makes the transition immediately. Not everybody can do it. You just have to wait to see how it happens. And, for example, if he comes in and looks okay and Hornerbrook is healthy and he has a good camp, people are going to go crazy if Hornerbrook's a starter. They're going to wonder what's going on. So you just have to let it play out. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to be blunt. In my mind, the people that are blowing this guy up as a four-time Heisman winner and leading to Wisconsin National Championship are being irresponsible, because you don't know what he's going to be like. It was a great performance. He's got a lot of talent. The coaches like the guy. But I guarantee you what's going to happen if he doesn't win the starting job, it's going to be either that he's a bust or the coaches don't know what they're doing. And right. probably neither one of those is accurate. But that's what you'll read and that's what you'll hear.
So from a future Badger superstar to a former one, on Monday it was announced that Joe Thomas was going to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. He obviously had a tremendous career with the Badgers. He's about as surefire first ballot Hall of Famer as you can get in the NFL when his time comes after his career wrapped up now with the Cleveland Browns. Do you have any particular recollections of Joe as a Wisconsin Badger? I mean, he was obviously dominant on the field. What do you remember about Joe? What sort of resonates when you think back on his career in college?
So, you know, I could list what great a play was, but everybody knows that. But there's two little stories that I've written before. One, they were in Hawaii in 2005. It was their last regular season game. And, you know, we were able to watch practice back then. And I'm sitting in the stadium watching the linemen clown around throwing passes. And, you know, three quarters of them are knuckleballs or end over end. And you watch Joe drop back and throw passes, and he's throwing like a quarterback. That's how good of an athlete he was. I mean, when he was a young kid in high school, playing AAU basketball. Back then, Connecticut was interested in him. But then he focused on other sports, track and football. I mean, he's that athletic a player. And then the other one, obviously, was in the bowl game that year, which at the time was going to be Barry's last game. They beat Auburn in the Cap One Bowl, is when he helped out on defense, tore his ACL, and obviously was forced to come back for the 2006 season. And it was the spring of '06, and I'm out at spring practice early one day, and I'm sitting waiting for things to go, and sitting in Camp Randall, and I see a guy several sections down to my left going up the steps, and I didn't pay any attention to him. And this is in April, and Joe had his surgery probably late January, early February. And as he gets closer, I realize it's Joe Thomas running the stadium steps probably February, March, 2.5 months out from his surgery. And I just remember sitting there thinking, you are a freak. And he came back that year, gave up a sack in the opener, which was against Bowling Green in Cleveland Browns Stadium, ironically, which is the team that drafted him. And that was it. That was the only sack he gave up that year. He was just incredible.
I'm also really struck by sort of his post-playing career and how he's already, I mean, not that he was a shy guy by any means, but his personality is just shining out there. You know, he's got a great sense of humor. He's willing to speak his mind. He's speaking on he's doing a number of media things. He's everywhere right now. He's kind of a media darling.
Yeah. I mean, if you had a chance to talk to him and sit down and just have a civil conversation. It didn't even have to be about football. Just shoot the breeze with him. You knew he was smart as hell. You knew he had personality, and you knew that if he was going to give opinions, he was going to back them up. They weren't going to be just hot takes on social media. They were going to be well thought out opinions. So he can do pretty much whatever he wants to do in media, and I hope he has fun with it and pursues that as a career. Although I know his family is so important to him, and you know he married a woman who from Hudson who played basketball at Wisconsin. I'm not sure how many kids they have right now, but I know family is really important to him, and I'm sure he missed a lot of time with his family and, you know, playing pro ball.
He'll be a member of the College Hall of Fame, and then of course the NFL Hall of Fame needs 3 more years, I believe, before that transpires. But he is Jeff Patricus, Badgers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covering the basketball team the rest of the way. Thanks, Jeff. We will talk to you again real soon.
Okay, we'll talk to you.
That's all we got today. As I said at the outset, you can find a new episode of the Milwaukee Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast at jsonline.com, or obviously you can subscribe to it in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. You will find a new episode of the Milwaukee Bucks podcast coming to you Wednesday morning when I join Matt Velasquez. The Packers podcast is always fresh and updated. New coach news to talk about. Subscribe to all these things. You're going to want all these things in your life. You are a Milwaukee sports fan or a Wisconsin sports fan. These are the things you need in your life. Find me. I host a bunch of those, and certainly this Badgers one, more irregular than the others, but when we do have a new episode, you're going to want to be subscribed so you know when the new episode is set for your ears. Thanks to Jeff Patricus for joining me on this episode of the Wisconsin Badgers Journal Sentinel podcast. We will chat with you again soon. Thank you.